If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Romans? And I know that Pastor Joel has been working through Romans and spent time there. And there's a portion of scripture that the Lord has laid on my heart too. It's in Romans 3, verses 9, and we're going to go through verse 24. So would you stand in honor of God's word this morning? Romans 3, beginning at verse 9. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. No one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those that are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. Thank You that this word is written for our instruction and for our learning, to teach us to walk in obedience, and to know You as our personal Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, today would You be our teacher? Would You lead us and guide us into all truth? Holy Spirit, would You magnify the name of Jesus today in our midst? And would You open our ears to hear Your word and our hearts to believe it? And Father, now, in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind Satan today so that Your word and spirit might have free course in my heart and in each heart here today. And all the glory and all the praise belongs to You. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've entitled this morning's message, God is the Issue. God is the Issue. Society has removed God from His place at the center of everything and given Him a seat on the sidelines. The church has given in to the world's agenda and joined the debate on the symptoms of society instead of clearly relating the message of God. What are the symptoms of our society? And I think in these days in which we live, they're becoming much clearer day by day. Some of the symptoms are sexual immorality, homosexual behavior, pornography, racism, abortion, hate crimes, corporate fraud, AIDS, drugs, drunkenness, terror, injustice, gambling, hypocrisy, physical, verbal, and sexual abuse, and domestic violence are just some of the symptoms of a nation that has forgotten God. Would you agree with me? We have forgotten God. The church has gotten caught up with dialoguing and treating the symptoms instead of calling these things sin and pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times the church is winning the battles, but we are losing the war for the hearts and minds of men and women and children. It is time to return to the basics, but in a more culturally relevant and understandable manner. Brad Bright, the son of Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, said this: debating the issues apart from the larger context of God Himself is the practical equivalent of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic while it sinks beneath the waves. God is the issue. As we think of our society, I'm reminded of the men who joined David for the battle at Hebron. They were really a bunch of misfits who became leaders of David's raiding band. If you want to read the account, it's found in 1 Samuel chapters 21 through 24. But they were really a bunch of misfits who came together and rallied around David. It is said of the men of Issachar that they were men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. 1 Chronicles 12:32. It's time for the Christian church to understand the times and know what America should do. I'm so thankful for you that have served our military, all of you. You often know a whole lot more than we do. You know the strategies and the plan and everything when it comes to our nation in war and in peacetime and all the elements. Thank you. But the church needs to wake up and understand the times we're living in today. And we need to get our marching orders from the Lord Jesus Christ and go forward. Paul was writing to the church at Rome, which was made up largely of Gentiles. However, there was a substantial number of Jews as well. Rome had become very affluent, self-sufficient, and many were no longer worshiping God, but the things that He had created. The symptoms of sin were evidence of a group of people that had forgotten God. And God is the issue. I want to say, as a father, and this is Father's Day, and I love my children dearly, but I'm so thankful they don't always come to me asking for things. I'm so glad when we can sit down and have those adult conversations and just be in one another's presence. I think that's the greatest thing of children growing up. Sometimes, like the people of Rome, they forgot the giver of everything and they started worshiping the creation. We have people worshiping the creation today. We've become a very affluent nation. We've become very self-sufficient. But where is God in all of this? That's the question. Do we acknowledge Him as the giver and sustainer of life? Do we acknowledge that every good and perfect gift comes from Him? And he doesn't show favoritism, but he's kind and he's just and he's loving to every one of us. In our text, Paul addresses the whole human race. He makes the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. And he holds the human race is imprisoned in guilt and under judgment. And the first point here is that the ungodliness of sin. In the beginning comes the statement that there is no one who seeks God. Verse 11. And at the end, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 18. That's a very true statement in the times in which we're living. We have no fear of God. Scripture is so clear that we are to fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. We're to have a righteous fear of God because of who He is. But today we want to blow Him off. We don't need Him. My friends, we don't know how much we do need Him. We need Him all the time. Here we have the assertion that when people renounce God, they tend to plunge recklessly into evil. Whereas when they fear God, they shun evil. Scripture identifies the essence of sin as ungodliness. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. People don't want to hear the truth today. I have news for you. Every one of us are sinners. We were born in sin. And because we are sinners, we sin. That's a true statement. Do you believe it? I don't apologize for it because it's the Word of God. God's complaint is that we really do not seek Him at all, that there is no room for Him in our thoughts, and that we do not love Him with all our being. Sin is the revolt of the self against God, the dethronement of God, with the idea of placing ourselves on the throne. I don't know about you, but I've visited with a lot of people over my years. And then you come across those that they can only talk about themselves and their accomplishments. You know, I can only think about this much of that. I would rather avoid them. I mean, they're so full of themselves that they don't even recognize it. Scripture is so clear that if we have anything to boast about, we're to boast about our Lord, right? And all that He has done for us. Amen? It's not about us. It's about a loving God who loves us, who died for us, who cares about us. But here in the book of Romans, these people had become, they had dethroned God and they'd put themselves on the throne. They got up, they went to eat, they filled themselves. And in the fall of the Roman Empire was that they would eat till they were full. They would go to the bathroom, shove a feather down their throat and throw it up and start all over again. Talk about sickening. Psalm 14, verse 2 says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there is any who understand, any who seek God. Psalm 10, verse 4, in his pride, the wicked does not seek Him. In his thoughts, there is no room for God. That's how it's described here in Scripture. I want to ask you today, do you have room for God in your heart? And are you seeking Him? Or are you part of what this Scripture says? You have no time for Him. You know, our lives are busy. I don't care who we are, right? We live busy lives. It doesn't help to retire. It gets worse. I see people agreeing with me. But are we too busy for God and the things of the Lord? The second thing is the permeating effect of sin. Sin affects every part of the human constitution, every faculty and function, including our minds, emotions, sexuality, conscience, and will. Sin affects every part. I don't know if my confirmation students remember, but when I taught them on the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, I would tell them specifically, I said, this is a twofold sin. It's a sin against God, first of all, and it's a sin against your own body, and it messes up your mind, because any time you commit adultery, you become one with another person. Sin affects us. When you tell one lie, you're going to have to tell another to cover it up. Sin has an effect on us. And everything that we do in life is naked and open to the eyes of God, with whom we have to deal with. He knows everything. We can't get by with anything. I'm so thankful when I did something wrong that my mother or that let me know I did something wrong. There's a lot of good training that comes through your seat. I want you to know that. And it's not always pleasant. I used to have pretty good padding, but not so much anymore. The permeating effect of sin. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can understand it?" That's what our hearts are like without Christ. And in this text, verses 13 through 17, we have a list of the body parts. Their throats are an open grave. Some of the things that are spoken of. They're full of corruption and infection. Ever had a sore throat? Some of you maybe have had tonsillitis and a lot of pain. Yeah, full of infection. It hurts. That's what we're described as here. Their tongues practice deceit instead of being dedicated to the truth. Deceitful, that's one of the things that's foremost about Satan. He is the greatest deceiver there ever was. Their lips spread poison like snakes. Poison. What comes out of your mouth? Is it poison that tears everybody down? Or is it something that builds others up? Their mouths are filled with bitter curses. Their feet are swift in the pursuit of violence and scatter ruin and misery in their path. Instead of walking in peace, their eyes are looking in the wrong direction and they do not reverence God. God has created and given us these bodies that we might serve people and glorify God. The effects of sin are the symptoms of individuals and of a nation that has rejected God. God is the issue. The third one is a universal universality of sin. Since the fall of Adam and Eve and sin, the whole human race has been affected by sin. There is no one righteous, it says. Not even one. Verse 10. There is no one who does good. Not even one. All have gone their own way and they have become worthless. Man is in a hopeless state, for to be righteous is to live in conformity to God's law. I want to tell you something. Sin brings misery. I want to take just a moment and talk to you young men and you young women this morning. Any time that you step away from the obedience of God and His Word and choose sin, all you will get is misery. Because sin brings misery. It brings guilt. It brings condemnation. It takes us down a path that's very hurtful for all of us. And I have seen it in the lives of people who have chosen that path, whether it's drunkenness or drugs. Or when we live down in Mesa during the winter, every day there's killings, there's drugs. Somebody at least once a week goes down the wrong way on the interstate and they take out like 5 cars because they were on drugs. Sin brings misery, people. Don't go there. Don't go there. James 2:10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law, all the commandments, and yet stumbles in one point, is guilty of all of them." We're all guilty. We're all guilty. And the purpose of the law is to convict us of sin and point us to Jesus. And the law causes every mouth to be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Friends, when I hear things on the news that really disturb me, and when I see the enemy of Satan rising up, I pray, Lord, stop their mouths. Silence them. Because you're going to be held accountable to God. And friends, we're going to be accountable to God for every idle word we speak. It's really sobering, isn't it? But it's the truth of God's word. But I want to tell you there's a solution today. Amen? No one is declared righteous by observing the law, rather that through the law we become conscious of sin. We need to know who we are. We're sinners. And the law of God shows us that. God has provided a solution for sinful man in Romans 3 here, verse 21 through 24. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. You know, you read the Old Testament, it keeps pointing to Jesus, right? All the time. There's a lot of grace in the Old Testament. People don't always agree with me, but there is when you really read it and understand the mercy and grace of our God. This righteousness, it says, comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It just doesn't get dumped on you. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And once we come to faith through Jesus Christ, He lavishes upon us the wonderful righteousness of God in Christ. And we become clean and white and pure by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we become overcomers in Jesus. Amen. And he goes on, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You know, we're so quick to use that verse, and we forget about verse 24. Okay? That's the important verse. And it goes on and says, "And are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." We are justified freely by His grace through the shed blood on the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? If you don't know that today, friends, I want you to know that. Because when you live in sin or choose sin, it becomes your master. And it's in control of you. But if you choose Christ, He delivers you from sin. He takes away the guilt. He sets you free. He justifies us before God the Father. And He says, "This one is mine." Right? "God, this one is mine. I have redeemed him. And he belongs to me." And I can say, "Dale is one of his redeemed. And I belong to him. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done on my behalf, on your behalf, and for the whole world." This redemption came by Jesus giving his life and shedding his blood on the cross. It's time to look at the symptoms and seek the solution, right? This is what our nation needs. Needs Jesus. This is what the church needs. It's time to quit dialoguing about all these various issues and compromising on sin. We need Jesus. And if we don't seek the Lord, we are simply rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, and we will sink with the ship. It's time to seek the Lord and fear God, because God is the issue. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Father, we don't like to hear that we're sinners, but that's what we are. Sinners by nature, and sinners because we choose sin. But thanks be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us and bought us and caused us to be justified before God because of the blood of Christ. We are so thankful today. And Lord, this morning, for someone who doesn't know you, may you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to take away your sin and misery and give you joy and peace in the Lord Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.